It is very early in the morning. I literally just got off the plane from Barn Restaurant Expo. I was there for 3 days in Las Vegas for what is one of the biggest shows of the year. I took the red eye home, and while it was all fresh in my mind, I wanted to turn on the microphone, give you my hot takeaways from the event. If you want to hear more about this, what I learned, what I took away, I hope you'll stick around on this episode of Restaurant Strategy. There's an old saying that goes something like this. You'll only find three kinds of people in the world. Those who see, those who will never see, and those who can see when shown. This is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast with answers for anyone who's looking. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. My name is Chip Close, and this is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast dedicated to helping you build a more profitable restaurant. Each week, I leverage my two plus decades in the industry to help you build a more profitable restaurant. I also work directly with owners and operators from all over the country in my P3 Mastermind program. So this is the way I get to work directly with restaurateurs all over, specifically to help them increase the profitability of their restaurants. So the people in the program, they got to be around for at least a year. They got to be doing at least $1 million in revenue, and they're struggling with profitability, meaning they make a lot of hungry people happy, they drive a lot of revenue, but they struggle to be able to take home that consistent, predictable 20% every single month. If this resonates, if this sounds familiar, then we want to chat with you. The best way to get started, just to see if you're a good fit for this program, is to go to our website and grab some time on our calendar. You do that by visiting restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule. Grab some time on the calendar. You'll chat with someone from my team. We'll get to ask you a bunch of questions about you and your restaurant. You'll get to ask us a bunch of questions about the program, and let's see if you're a good fit. Again, go to restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule. Grab some time on the calendar. It's a free 30-minute call just to see if we think it's a good fit. Yes, that link is in the show notes. Now, today's episode is brought to you by 7Shifts. Have you ever spent the last hour finalizing the schedule for next week only to have an employee come rushing in at the last minute to tell you that they forgot to tell you that they need 2 days off? Or have you realized that you made a mistake on payroll right when you press submit? I've been there, and there's nothing fun about spending hours on manual updates. With 7Shifts, you don't have to worry about that. You can make schedule updates in minutes with an easy drag-and-drop scheduler and skip the payroll mistakes in the first place with automated calculations. 7Shifts is a team management platform built specifically for restaurants. And right now, Restaurant Strategy Podcast listeners can get 3 months free. To get started, visit 7shifts.com/restaurantstrategy. That's the number 7. SHIFTS.com/restaurantstrategy. See just how simple it can be when your payroll, your scheduler, and your time clock all live under one roof. Yes, that link is also in the show notes. Now, today, like I said, I just got off the plane on the red eye. I'm exhausted, but still buzzing from a really, really great event. So I wanted to hit record. Number one, I can't go to sleep right now. And number two, I wanted to talk about this while it was still fresh in my mind. So for those of you who don't know, in addition to hosting this podcast, in addition to coaching in the mastermind that I run, I write. So I've written a book called The Restaurant Marketing Mindset. And I also travel the world taking the stage at different speaking events. So I give keynotes at trade shows, at conventions, at different conferences. And this past week was one of the biggest shows of the year, probably my favorite show of the year. This is one I do every single year. It's hosted out in Las Vegas, and it's called the Barn Restaurant Expo. It's sort of co-hosted with another event called Pizza Expo. So they're both out at the Las Vegas Convention Center. One is in the South Hall, one's in the North Hall, right? And if you've been there to Las Vegas, you know that that convention center is enormous. It's like, I don't know, a couple football fields long. So the South Hall is pretty far away from the North Hall, right? It's like a 15-minute walk. But the cool part is that restaurant owners and operators descend from all over the world, really, for these two events. A lot of people go to one or the other, and a huge amount of people go to both. I am always invited, or I have been invited the last couple of years, to speak, to take the stage at Bar and Restaurant Expo. And the cool part about this show, the reason why it's my favorite show of the year, is because there's a particular focus put on education, right? So people are really there to learn. That's my first takeaway. And I've made that before when I've talked about this show, that trade show in the past, but it has to be right up front. It's a three-day event. It happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's usually the same weekend or around the same time towards the end of March. And the cool thing about this is that the trade show floor, so the expo floor, doesn't even open until Tuesday afternoon. So all day Monday and then Tuesday morning, the focus really is on the talks, the keynote, the panel discussions, the workshops. People are really there to learn, and they pay extra to go get those tickets. You can pay one price and just get into the expo floor, but you have to pay an additional fee to be able to get into these workshops, and people do. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of people in the audience. So on Monday, I gave two talks, and then I hosted an event yesterday. It feels like forever ago. Hosted an event yesterday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, on the trade show floor for new restaurateurs, for people who are planning to open up. So it was a great way for me to get to meet some more people, for those people to meet each other. And then I walked the floor, I got dinner, and then I took the red eye home very late Tuesday night into today, Wednesday. And now I'm releasing this. I'm going to release this later, but it's fresh in my mind. The cool part about Bar and Restaurant Expo is that people are really there to learn. Three-day event, and basically a day and a half of the event is all focused on education. That was my first takeaway. The other takeaway that I wanted to say right up front, before we sort of break this into different sections, the other takeaway is that coaching is cool. In the past, when people ask me what I do, and I say, "Well, I'm a restaurant coach," they sort of looked at me strange, right? Like when you blow a whistle and a dog looks at you and their head kind of turns. Most people know what a restaurant consultant is, right? We see those on TV. Maybe you've hired one before. So restaurant consultant is somebody you hire to bring you in to show you the stuff you're doing wrong and to help put a system in place or show you how to do it right. But a restaurant coach is sort of a new thing. In fact, this idea of coaching is a relatively new thing. Of course, in athletics, we know what a coach is. But this idea of coaching for the business world is something that's just really, it's just really become a big deal over the last, let's say, 15 years. And really, it's become hot over the last five. Listen, I started this about three and a half years ago, transitioning from consulting to coaching. So I certainly know, I can attest to the fact that it's new. It's new for me as well. But usually the challenge that I have, right, is that I've got to convince people that this is a real thing. Number two, that there's merit to having a coach, somebody in your corner to provide insights and objectivity and accountability. And then if people, I feel like if they need help and if they're curious about it, then I have to convince them to have a deeper conversation with me or someone from my team. So the thing that really struck me here is that coaching is cool. Not only do people know what it was, but they were open to chatting about it. Not that they wanted to necessarily work with me, but they were curious to hear how I worked with people and what I would recommend, et cetera, et cetera. And for the record, there are a lot of great coaches out there. I am not the only one. There are a lot of great people out there who know what they're talking about, who can really help you. So it really doesn't matter who you use. Right. As long as you find somebody you like, and you trust, and you can be honest with, because honesty is one of the key parts of that relationship. There's intimacy built into the relationship between a coach and a client, a coach and a member of a group or on the other side. So you got to find somebody you know and you like. And what's cool now is that I'm hearing that people know what it is and they're actively trying to understand it. Those struck me all throughout the event over the 3 days that I was there. And so I wanted to share those two with you. I've got four more takeaways, two on the operations side, two on the marketing side that I wanted to share with you. And I think you'll see by the end that they sort of co-mingle. And I don't want to belabor this episode. This is going to be a shorty. But I did want to share some of these things. So on the operations side, right, I talk a lot about profitability because I believe Profit is the only thing that matters in your business. Yes, we want to create a great experience. We want to take care of people. We want to put out good food, all of that. But all of that is in service of profit. You start a business so that the business can provide for you, can shake loose some profit so you can pay your bills. And I think profit is not a dirty word. And that was one of the things that really came out over the course of my 3 days in Vegas, is that people are willing and excited and eager to talk about the money they're making or the money they're not making, because they're understanding that that's what this is all about. That's why we work as hard as we do. So profitability is number one, and it was cool to see people so eager and willing to talk about that. Now, I also went out there to give a talk about finding a path to profitability, because it speaks so specifically to what I'm passionate about and what I do in my day-to-day work with the members of the P3 Mastermind. So when they asked me to do something on the topic, I was like, yes, absolutely. I would love to do something like that. But now, especially coming out of these last couple of years, right? So coming out of the pandemic, wages surged. We had to pay people a lot more to do seemingly the same job they did in 2018 and 2019, but we had to pay them more to do it now. So that increased people's prime cost, right? That affected the profitability of the restaurant. And then over the last, 12 to 18 months, as inflation sort of bit everybody in the butt, as the cost of goods went up and up and up, it put a particular focus on our profitability, because people weren't able to fake it anymore. You really had to have a plan. And so what happened is that over the course of these 3 days, as people were trying to find a better plan, they were trying to figure out a way to manage these things. I had a couple hundred people in my room listening to one of the talks that I gave, specifically the one I gave about profitability, and the room was on the edge of their seats. It was a really cool thing to see. I left time for questions at the end, which I typically don't do, but I thought this was important, and I want to say we fielded 10 or 12 questions, and they were all spot on. They were perfect. It was a perfect extension of the things that I had already talked about. So it was cool to see people receiving the information so well. That was one of my big takeaways from profitability, is that they understand that COGS and labor directly affect a restaurant's profitability. And they know that they need operators out there know that they need a way to manage it, know that they need a better way to manage it. So if you're listening to this, right, and you feel like this resonates, you need a system, a way to think about how you manage these two huge expenses in your business. And you hear me talk about it all the time, the P3 Mastermind. That is specifically what we do. Right now, so far to this point, right in the middle of March here in 2024, we've brought 60 new members into the program. So if you think this is just some small group, right, that works with me, a couple of people that are turning over, let me just tell you, coaching is cool, this group is cool, and many, many people are raising their hand to say, yes, I want to be a part of this, I need some help and guidance. So that was one of my big takeaways from Bar and Restaurant Expo, and I'll use that as a way to just talk about what I do, because I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about it because I know the work makes an impact. It really is not about me. When we show you a way to manage these things, you guys will make so much more money. So if you don't have a good way of doing this, right, I'd love to chat with you. Again, I say it every time, go to restaurantstrategypodcast.com, grab time on the calendar, and let's just see if you're a good fit. That was something that came about at the show. People are aware of it, and they're looking for ways to manage it. Here's the other thing on the operations side. Robots and AI are coming. So there's always like a couple of stalls on the expo floor with sort of the robots that will, bust tables or bring food, replace the runners and all that. But now I'm watching it a lot more. It's not just a novelty, but like the barista robots, the burger flipping robots, the fry robots who can drop stuff in the fryer really easily. The robots that are like a step up from a kiosk, that was sort of new, right? So you go up and you use a kiosk, but what if there was a robot there to help you, and it was sort of something in between a cashier and a kiosk. I saw that. That was really compelling. And then, of course, the way that AI folds into this. I was watching the way that different people had AI helping with forecasting. You know I love forecasting. So there's now AI programs, software to help you with forecasting and budgeting. There's AI phone answering. You've heard me talk about this on the show, but that is getting better and better and better. AI schedulers. This is the goal. AI table management, right? Where really you just need a host to be hospitable because the system manages the reservation book and maximizing your tables and the seating on your tables. You don't, and now this wounds me. This digs in deep because I was a maitre d' for many years running the front door for a bunch of fine dining, Michelin star restaurants in New York City. And I loved sort of the Tetris game every night of trying to maximize those tables, maximize the reservation book. But now there's AI. I mean, that really the computer can manage this for you in real time as reservations no-show, as they cancel, as last-minute reservations come in, as you get walk-ins. That was really cool to see, right? And this is still just the beginning, but what I was excited about is that I'm watching some very real applicable use cases. This isn't just, you know, it's not a robot that some goofy restaurant would bring in as a novelty. It's really using robotics and artificial intelligence to help us do our job better and to be able to reallocate the human resource in ways that the computer can't do, like being hospitable, like, you know, like doing the things that we know only people can do. So from the operation side, that was the two things that stuck out. Really, profitability is top of mind for everyone. Everybody's looking for a system to manage those two major expenses, which brought joy to my face because that is what I spend so much time doing. And then AI, the AI, the robots. And what was cool is that the way they intersect it with the things that I'm doing, the things that I'm working on, right? That there's a direct connection here. The other side then, on the marketing side, right? So I have two takeaways from the operations side, two takeaways now from the marketing side. Number one, and this comes as no surprise, but it was really front and center at the show, is this idea that my friend and colleague Rev Ciancio always says. So Rev, for those of you who came to the South Carolina event, the P3 Marketing Summit back in January, you know that he says this all the time, and it's articulated so beautifully. But he says, customer acquisition without data acquisition is an absolute waste, right? So the simple version of this is, two top walks in, they say, hey, do you have a table for two? And you say, yeah, absolutely, right this way. You got a customer, you're going to get dollars, but you don't have any way to remarket to them, to retarget them, to continue the relationship after they leave. That the best time to do it is when they walk in and say, hi, do you have a table for two? I say, yeah, give me just a second, let me get your name. And what's your phone number? And what's the email address, just so we have you in our system? Perfect, we'll show you right into the dining room. That literally takes 30 seconds. In order to make a reservation, they've got to do that. They've got to give us their information. There's no reason why we shouldn't be doing that even with a walk-in. And when you extrapolate that out to all the other ways that we capture a customer, it really has to do with data acquisition, right? If we're going to get a customer, we also need their data. This is why, and this came out over the show, this is particularly why the third-party delivery sites are so dangerous to us. Yes, it's the huge commission fees, but there's no way for us to continue marketing to them, for us to build a deeper relationship with the guests because they connect. We're connecting with them via a third party. So DoorDash keeps all their information. DoorDash can communicate with them. But we, the consumer at, you know, XYZ Pizza Company, we can't connect with them. And that's what's particularly dangerous. That moving forward, the third-party delivery sites know this. They know the power of data acquisition. And we have to then apply that to our business. So whatever that means for you and your business, you need to focus on getting data, getting contact information for every customer you have. And if that sounds overboard, then you are going to be left behind. I've known it. Again, Rev says it, customer acquisition without data acquisition is a waste. And it was really clear at this show. And there are now tools, software, there are consultants, other coaches, other people, and this is what we're all focused on. So it's something I've said before, but it was front and center at the show. The other thing that came about with marketing is now we've got tools. Now we have email service provider and flashy websites and social media feeds, and you can have a paid acquisition strategy on Google, on Facebook, on Instagram. You can put your stuff out there, but marketing of the thing can't make up for the thing, right? Put another way, you can't market your way around a boring product. That this is where the connection between marketing and operations really comes together. And I've talked about this before, right? Talk about this a lot in my book. I talk about this in the online course that I put out, Restaurant Recharge. And I've talked about it on this show 300 and some episodes later. You can't market your way around a substandard product, a mediocre product. The product itself is the best way to market it, right? Apple doesn't need to put out an ad, a commercial for iPhone, because the iPhone is that powerful. It's that incredible, right? The device can do just about anything you want it to do. Make calls, text, surf the internet, and on and on and on, right? It can be your tool to remember where you parked your car, the tag in your bag, or where your child is, right? So many things this thing can do. It's a camera. It's a video camera. It's an editing hub. It's your bank. On and on and on. The iPhone doesn't need a commercial because we know how great it is, and everybody just talks about how great their new app is. There's tons of things that we know are great about the iPhone, and what you need is a great product. So I was reminded of something that Seth Godin says, right? And he said this before. He said, great marketing adopts the opposite rule of Fight Club. So you remember the movie Fight Club, right? What's the first rule of Fight Club? You don't talk about Fight Club. What's the second rule of Fight Club? You don't talk about Fight Club. And in great marketing, we really need it to be the opposite. We need it to be the first thing you do is talk about the product. We need the customer to want to talk about the product. It's in their best interest. It's inevitable. It's sticky for them to talk about the product. And so a mediocre product can't be marketed for very long. You can do some work for a while, but it's probably going to be really expensive and it's never going to take hold. Because really what we need at a certain point is for the consumer to take over and do all our work for us. And that was really clear with all the different software that was out there, all the consultants and coaches and thought leaders and marketers that were out there. And he said, your social media feeds, your advertising thing just needs to be talking about how great the product is. So people are like, whoa, that seems really great. And it is, it does, it lives up to it. So we know this, but it was highlighted really clearly on there. And so there were all these products, right? So on the part of the software, right? All the software that's helping to magnify that. But then all these other products out there that were helping you to make your product better, stickier, more engaging, more remarkable, more worth talking about. Barn Restaurant Expo is an extraordinary, overwhelming experience. Again, 3 days. There's a kickoff party on the first night. There's you get entrance into three of the big clubs every single night of the event. I skipped the clubs because I'm over 40. But man, if you want to go do the clubs. They get you into like three of the best clubs out there. I think it was like Marquee, Omnia, and something else. So like, you can go, like you can have a great time. And this used to be the nightclub show. So it's got sort of like a bar nightclub tilt to it, although it really does exist for restaurants as well. And so that's obviously what brings me out there. If you don't go to trade shows, I think it's worth finding one or two every single year to do it. Even if you think you know it all, I promise you don't, because you will meet other good thought leaders. Even if you just go, not necessarily to walk the expo floor, but just to sit in on these panel discussions, on the workshops, on the talks, that's where you will come away with tangible information. And when you go and you sit through the talks, here's what happened when I gave my talks on Monday. People went through the talks and they told me, they're like, now I know what I need to look for on the trade show floor. So when I go to the expo floor tomorrow, I know what I need to, the questions I need to be asking. I know the things that I need to be focused on. And it didn't just happen with my talk. I think it happened with a lot of other talks out there, which was a cool thing to see. It just helps bring focus to what you're there to do. So that's that. That's the Bar and Restaurant Expo. Every single year in March, I go out and speak every single year. I hope they'll have me back again next year because I have a blast every single time. Listen, I hope you get some value out of this show. If you do, do me a favor. Go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Just tell us what, just tell people what you love about the show, what you've gotten out of the show. Tell people why you think they should tune into the show. That more than anything will help us move the needle and continue growing this community. I appreciate you guys being here each and every week, and I will see you next time.